Hurry on. In this interview, Brendan Sakey, also known as Yogeshwaran, shares with us his experience teaching yoga in drug and alcohol programs and prisons. Yogeshwaran is an accredited Satchinanda yoga teacher and also a social worker. He's passionate about integrating yoga into health and community services where it is needed most. Yogeshwaran teaches yoga with an emphasis on mindfulness. Through his work, he's seeing the therapeutic benefits of yoga in daily life and knows from his own experience that yoga can help transform and uplift a person. Hari Om, Yogeshwaran, thank you so much for joining us.
Hari Om.
To begin with, will you tell us a bit more about you and when, how and why you started working with those in addictions?
Sure. Well, I'm actually a social worker as well as a Satyananda yoga teacher. Several years ago, I was working in a drug and alcohol service, an outpatient service with mainly counselling and group work. And I was been into yoga for a while, so I was always trying to integrate a bit of yoga into my work with people with drug and alcohol issues. And I just found that to be really effective. At that time, several years ago, the kind of mindfulness-based modalities of counselling and therapy were becoming really popular, and these mindfulness approaches really came out of the Eastern teachings of Buddhism and yoga. So it was just, I just really gravitated towards that approach. And working in this drug and alcohol service, I was developing and facilitating stress management groups, which I usually co-facilitated with a psychologist. And we just managed to nicely blend together this kind of yoga philosophy of looking at breathing and relaxation and mindfulness approaches, incorporated it into a recovery program that was helping people to reduce stress, reduce anxiety, and with a goal towards cutting down or stopping problematic drug and alcohol use. So that's how I got interested in it. Then I was also went on to start studying my diploma at Mangrove, the Satyananda diploma. And from there, just started integrating it more and more, doing like lunchtime yoga classes for staff at the addiction service. And I was also started co-facilitating drug and alcohol harm reduction groups in the prison.
Wow.
And I found that we would be focusing on a harm reduction approach in a motivational way to help prisoners to address their substance abuse issues. But I just noticed that things like halftime would stand up and I'll get them to do a few stretches and breathing practices, and they all really loved that. You know, there was this real insight that I had that people were looking for sort of body-centered practices and awareness of breathing rather than just talking therapies. So that led me on to taking it further into teaching yoga and drug and alcohol rehabilitation residential center.
Mm-hmm.
And so went on to teach yoga in a prison in Auckland. And within the prison, you know, statistics show that majority of prisoners have at some stage had drug and alcohol issues, particularly around the time of their offending. So the yoga in prison was particularly useful for helping them to address those addiction issues too.
And do you find that you teach the same to both those in the drug and alcohol residential programs and that in the prisons? Like, were there very similar type of people?
Yeah, there was actually. Some of the residents in the rehabilitation program had been in prison,
mm-hmm.
and some of them were in rehabilitation program probably as a alternative to being in prison. And and on the other hand, people in prison, so many of them have underlying mental health or substance abuse issues. They probably should be much better suited in a treatment, residential treatment program.
Yeah.
So the more we can take yoga into prisons as well as drug and alcohol field, the more we're going to help people with their, you know, relapse prevention and staying on the straight and narrow, I suppose to call it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Something that I was wondering, the people that were in these residential programs, were they there by choice, voluntarily, or were they, like a prison, were they sort of
No, actually all drug and alcohol residential programs do require the residents to agree to be there.
Yep.
But they may have pressure from the court or from probation due to the offending. But at the end of the day, if a person's not obeying the rules in a residential program, if they're not actually participating in the recovery program, they won't stay there. They'll be kicked out, you know. So then, yeah, generally people, I found everyone in that rehabilitation program wanted to be there.
Fantastic. And when you were teaching them yoga, would they have the choice of attending that class? Or again, was that sort of suggested or instructed for them to be there?
Yeah, both classes were optional.
Yeah.
Because you can't really force someone into anything, really.
No.
And actually the approach of the residential program was really to help people make their own decisions and choices.
And so the length of the program, was it over 3 months or is it weekly? What type of a...
In the drug and alcohol residential program, it was a total of 4 months. I taught on a weekly basis every Friday. And it tended to be the same group for most of that time, but we got a few newcomers and a few people leaving. And I had a core group of regular residents that really enjoyed it, so they were there most weeks. But we did get a few fluctuating and just coming along to try it out as well.
Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a big difference between teaching in a community class and that of a drug and alcohol residential program. What did you find were the big differences?
I found the people that came to the rehabilitation program were more keen, were really keen to learn and give it everything they had. And they may have been less experienced with yoga or a little bit less health conscious. And they had some issues they were working through that, you know, created a few limitations. But in the community, you do tend to get some people coming along to class just wanting to relax and really keen for the yoga nidra, and they just like to cruise a little bit. But yeah, I found the people in the rehab are actually really interested in how yoga is going to help their recovery.
Mm. And even the classes that you teach in the prison, is there a lot of swearing, or is the way that you would speak to the participants different to that which you'd speak to in the community class?
Yeah, I try not to swear at any students altogether.
No. But do they swear? Like, is there that type of a feel to even the participants talking to each other?
Yeah, there was a few swear words, but it was all, there's quite a good little friendships amongst the prisoners, and they kind of, they actually formed a bit of a bond, the fact that they were practicing yoga together. Normally in prison there can be quite a hierarchy and there can be violence and there can be all kinds of issues there, but generally people who came to the yoga in the prison were actually they were open and they took it quite lightly, and generally once they'd built up a bit of rapport, they seemed to create a nice group energy that really served the class well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. So when planning and delivering your yoga classes, where would you begin? What would your format sort of be like?
Well, I use my experience and training as a drug and alcohol counsellor. When I look at the models that really work in this field, it's a motivational approach, getting alongside people.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the old top-down approach of trying to tell someone you're an addict and you need to be abstinent. Mm-hmm. So yoga does that nicely. It's that whole philosophy of letting go and surrendering and being present and developing awareness. So a lot of these people have had issues and trauma and violence and all kinds of things. So it's good to just go gently and respectfully. And I think yoga as a philosophy does that really nicely.
Yeah.
So things, if you look at some of the models in the drug and alcohol field, one of the old models, such as the 12-step approach, really focuses on the spiritual component.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at yoga and the meditative practices, this stillness that people get from meditation and yoga really complements that philosophy really well, mm. and it helps people to explore space which may become spiritual experience for them. So I found people with drug and alcohol issues who are going into recovery, they really identified with this kind of void they were feeling. And if I got them to reflect sometimes on what drug and alcohol had given them in the past, mm. often they would say it was some sort of peace or some sort of escapism or some way of quieting down their mind or relieving anxiety or worry or stress. Mm. So you can see a lot of people use alcohol even moderately to some extent for those reasons. So once they could see that yoga actually does help to quieten the mind and reduce stress and anxiety, helps them to relax, helps give them stillness, they started to realize that this was a great substitute. It was a healthy way of replacing problematic drugs and alcohol. Mm. So once they realize that, that's a great motivation, and people could get quite hooked on yoga, which is a great way to get high.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great, like you touch on this, because drug and alcohol is obviously, they affect like physical, mental, emotional and spiritual part of the being, and as does yoga. So to be able, especially rather than tell someone, for them to be able to experience that themselves, it's a lot more powerful and motivational, like you say. So what a great approach.
Yeah.
So what type of practices would you teach?
Well, this great thing about Satyananda Yoga is as an integral holistic approach, as you said, it really can focus on the physical, the mental, emotional and spiritual. So I'll start off slowly and teach in a progressive way, mm-hmm. and really simple practices such as Paramuktasana was always great to start with. Mm-hmm. This is because it helps to internalize their awareness and let people experience more subtle physical sensations and energy and prana. Mm-hmm. You often get people a bit distracted too, so just creating a sequence of asana that helps to meet different people's needs. As you get in community classes, some people more connected to the physical, some more the energetic. But my main thing was to give them a holistic approach so they can see how they can take yoga off the mat and into their everyday life. So I did find people were quite out of shape, some of them, and sometimes had physical issues and limitations. So just keeping a nice flowing practices were helpful for releasing tension. Mm-hmm. And I found if you try to get people holding poses and building flexibility too quickly, that could put people off a little bit. So really it's just generally building up strength and flexibility slowly. I found just the sequence that we do teach often in Satyananda Yoga is really effective, especially in a progressive way. I think pranayama people were really keen to learn, because realizing that they're breathing had become quite shallow and relating to stress in the past. So you're really having to start off slowly with pranayama and mm-hmm. just teaching natural breath awareness and abdominal breathing. Practices like abdominal breathing were just so beneficial for relaxation. I had comments from a prisoner how abdominal breathing he used when he was out in the yard in a situation of conflict where normally he might get violent, but he just had his hand on his navel doing abdominal breathing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and he really noticed his whole mind becoming calmer and his body releasing tension. So that's just keeping it simple is really the best way to start.
Absolutely, yeah. I wanted to touch back on stress management groups or programs that you helped develop. Did you incorporate that into your teachings, using yoga nidra or other ways to help manage stress for people?
When I was doing the stress management groups early on, I definitely integrated some yoga nidra, mm-hmm. along with that being a favorite in all the different classes. With yoga nidra, people with underlying mental health issues and addictions, it was important to keep it quite simple and sometimes to stir in the four essential stages and try not to let people get too internalized. So So often modifying yoga nidra, and sometimes it's more like a 10-minute relaxation.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, 15-minute or up to 20-minute full yoga nidra was appropriate too. So you do have to look a little bit at people's mental health as well as the physical health, because in addictions there is such a high rate of people with history of mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think some of the main lessons you've learned from teaching?
Yeah, what I've learned from teaching is it's actually really applicable in everyone's life. If you look at addictions, it's really what it was about teaching in prisons and residential programs is it's about helping people to manage emotions, to manage their cravings, and to manage their mind as well.
Yeah.
So I found integrating philosophies such as what the philosophies and teachings behind practices like Antarmon,
mm-hmm.
cultivating the witness. There's quite a few people that really got that, and I even introduced simple, gentle, you know, Antarmon practices. There were people that really were gravitating towards the meditation and the spiritual aspect of the practice. So usually before the class and after the class, I'll talk a bit about the philosophy and how these practices can be used in a practical way. So Antarmon, for example, is ideal. It really correlates well with mindfulness and awareness, because it's helping a person when they get triggered. They may be stressed or tired. They may go through some different changes in life, but they can notice from the triggers, they can notice physical experience because they've got more body awareness. They can notice the changes in their breath, and ideally they can notice some of the thoughts that they're having, which in the past might have really exacerbated some challenging emotions and led to their drug and alcohol issues. So really, yeah, really looking at the interrelation between physical, mental, emotional, and developing that awareness, that witness approach is really, really great for the relapse prevention.
Yeah, and I think that's fantastic, developing that awareness approach. We're teaching people how to take their practice off the mat, like you said, and taking it into everyday life, giving them practical tools that they can use after the program.
Exactly.
So I think that's just fantastic, very empowering. Yeah. I was wondering, what about some of the feedback that you'd received from participants?
The feedback I got from participants were, there was so much gratitude at the end of the classes, especially in prison, just the fact that I was coming in there to teach them, that they all wanted to shake my hand afterwards and give me a bit of feedback, and they were just really, really appreciated that I gave them that time.
Yeah.
Often they were wanting to take it further. I had one guy who was really in the prison, really keen to tell me that he just went up against the parole board the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a bit intimidating and a bit daunting. And he sat in front of three parole officers, just as this is an interview to see if he's going to get a release date.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the parole officers said to him, "What have you been doing inside here to help yourself?" And he said, "I've been going to yoga. I've been practicing yoga." And they said to him, "How does that help you?" And he said, "It helps me feel less depressed and helps me to feel more relaxed." And the parole officer said to him, "That's good, keep it up, you're going to be released in 2 weeks.
Wow.
The first thing he wanted to ask me was where he can find a yoga class in the town where he was getting parole to.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you think a prisoner's thinking about going to the pub or, you know, doing this or that, but his first thought was he wants to do yoga as soon as he gets out.
This is the transformational qualities of yoga. They can really change a person and the development in all aspects. So that's just, yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that.
Another prisoner gave some, there's a therapist in one of the special units I was teaching in the prison. She was a psychotherapist. She's quite into yoga herself, and she was the one that really helped get me into that unit in the prison in the first place. And we used to talk quite often just when we met in the hall and things, and we were great talking together about yoga in a therapeutic way, because she had that background of psychotherapy and she did yoga as well, and my background of social work, and we could sort of talk the same language a little bit. And she just gave feedback on a few of the guys, when they came to their group therapy session, how much different they seemed. You know, they seemed lighter and more relaxed and more open. And they didn't want to always open up in the group therapy because it's quite hard to do that. Mm-hmm. But she had connected with a couple of them who just mentioned how much they were, the yoga was benefiting them. They were sleeping better and they were feeling calmer and just increased confidence, really, which was great to hear.
Mm. And I really feel like a lot of people with drug and alcohol addictions, they have low confidence, they're not sleeping, it's that irritable, restless, discontent nature.
Yeah, we've got to give them tools and strategies to help manage those issues, eh?
Absolutely. Also, I wanted to ask you what obstacles that you have encountered that perhaps other teachers may not foresee if going to teach this type of population?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's really important to try to advocate for people, and educating managers, and whether it's prison managers or managers of drug and alcohol treatment programs, that yoga is not just about relaxation and luxury and escapism. It's actually really concrete, time-tested practices and tools that are, bring effective change and transformation in people's lives. So there's more and more research coming out on that now. It's taking a while, but there's a lot of research on mindfulness-based approaches, but also yoga, therapeutic yoga and clinical yoga is coming through and being published. So helping to educate the mainstream people that yoga is not just about stretching on a mat, it's actually about every aspect of life and, you know, calming, concentrating, controlling the mind so people can manage life in a more happy and peaceful way. But there are obstacles, you know, especially teaching in prisons and government services, sometimes that funding issues often get raised. Especially in prisons, there's kind of an attitude when you try to get funding and grant applications and things, often there's an attitude that it's the prison that should be paying for yoga classes, not the community. Whereas we say the prisoners are going to come back out in the community. So often yoga is not seen as a priority in the budget of the prison. So sometimes it relies on people doing this voluntarily. And over time, as a volunteer, it might lead into a paid contract, because to make it sustainable, ideally teachers need to get paid. Mm. Great way to start as a volunteer, just to get the foot in the door.
Yeah. I think it's a great place to start. And like you said, get your foot into the door, get experience and build your own confidence in teaching.
Yeah.
Is there anything further that you'd like to add?
Just really encouraging other people out there, yoga teachers who would like to take yoga into the more hard to reach populations, that it's really rewarding work. Often I find it more rewarding teaching somewhere like a drug and alcohol program or prison than sometimes in a community yoga studio, just because you do see that the benefits and people who really need yoga you get to work alongside. And I think just checking out some of the experience of other people and looking at some of the resources that are out there, because it is being done quite widely now in places like Australia and New Zealand, and connecting with other teachers who have done it and getting a bit of a support network, because it can be challenging places, can come across challenging people in your class. But the more you do have your own support and stay connected to your own teachers, and the more sustainable it's going to be, because you really got to look after yourself too.
Absolutely, that's what yoga's all about, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about yoga education in Prisons Trust that you're involved in?
Sure. Yoga Education in Prison Trust was started a few years ago in New Zealand by a Satyananda yoga teacher, and there's four trustees involved that happen to run this charitable trust to promote yoga and take the yoga teachings into prisons. And I've been involved with this trust as a teacher and also as a trustee, and it's still going strong. We tend to have around about four or five teachers in different prisons throughout New Zealand, but we're often trying to expand that and get into more prisons and more units. And really it just came about with people who had a vision that yoga will benefit prisoners and it will decrease reoffending. And the research has shown that it's really beneficial. And we actually do have a little research project starting very soon by a university master's student that is conducting a comprehensive research on the effects and benefits of yoga in prison.
Fantastic.
So this will help to encourage and support more yoga teachers in prisons internationally too. Yeah, so it's always, we're always keen for people just to look at the website and always send us an email just to say hi, drop and support us in any way. And we rely completely on donations and funding. And some of our teachers do teach voluntarily. So, but yeah, it's really incredibly rewarding work to be involved in.
Yeah, what a beautiful charitable trust that you're involved in. That sounds great. And people can get involved in that. So the link to the website is below this video. And Yogeshwaran, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. It is just inspirational to know what amazing work is going on out there and how you can really impact beneficially the people who are in drug and alcohol addictions, helping them find their recovery. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the great work that you're doing, and especially many Satyananda yoga teachers have helped me in my training and also with developing the prison yoga work. So we're very, very privileged to have these great practices to be sharing with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Hari Om Tat Sat.
Thank you very much. Hari Om Tat Sat.